So welcome. Welcome, everyone. Hello. This is Sherry with Simply Celebrate, and I am so happy to see so many people on the call today to make a love list as a Valentine's gift for someone in your life. And I'm really excited to have you here and to also have Maya and Amy with the Creativity Caravan. I'm going to introduce them in just a minute, but I wanted to start off with just a couple sort of housekeeping items. And one thing is that as you've been coming on the line, you're all muted right now, just so that we have a nice clear line for the recording. But at any time, feel free to press star 6, which will raise your hand so that you can ask a question or make a comment, whatever you want to say. Please do feel free to join in that way. And also to let you know that there will be a replay of the call. So just in case if we happen to be going, you know, a little too fast or maybe the way that you like to work, don't worry about that. I'll try and get the replay up as soon as I can so that you can re-listen to that. And also, just as a little bit of an introduction, I know that many of you know the work of Simply Celebrate, but just to refresh your memory, so Simply Celebrate is really all about helping us celebrate ourselves and the people we love, and the shape of our lives. And one of the things that I especially really love doing is offering different ideas of ways that we can offer love and appreciation and celebration to the people in our lives. And love lists, many of you probably already know this, and maybe many of you have already made a lot of them, but it's one way that, to me, is one of the most wonderful ways to appreciate someone in our lives, because it's, first of all, it doesn't cost anything to do, and I really love that. I love that anybody can make one. And there are all sorts of different ways to create it, and we'll be going over some of those different ways. We'll have some prompts today that are especially creative and fun to do. So there's all sorts of ways to come up with your love list, and there's all sorts of ways to present it. And basically, a love list is really just a brainstorm of all the things you love about someone. It's a very simple idea and yet so profound. If any of you on the line have ever given one or received one on both ends, it's just a very profound experience. And so I am constantly myself learning new ways to create them and also re-receiving them, which I'll talk a little bit about on this call, because I happen to be rereading one that Maya and Amy gave me and was in tears, actually, just right before this call at how touched I was by some of the things that they had written. So it's that kind of a gift that someone will probably keep forever and return to over and over again. And I realized the power of the love list when I made my very first one, which was way back in the 80s. My mom was turning 50, and I lived across the country from her. And I don't know how the idea just dropped in. She was turning 50, and I wanted to send her 50 reasons that I loved her. And it was an amazing experience and so much fun to do. And I still have that love list, and she does too. And it's just been a really profound thing that since then I've probably made, I don't know, countless love lists. So today we are going to be walking you through creating one. And again, just reminding everyone that if you have just joined the call, that if you can make sure that you have some paper and pen and that you have someone in mind that you want to create this really special gift for. And I'm going to go ahead and unmute Maya and Amy, and I'm going to introduce you guys, and then feel free to also say whatever you want to add. But let me just say, Amy and Maya are here from the Creativity Caravan. Amy Tingle and Maya Stein are co-founders of the Creativity Caravan, which is a mobile small business specializing in art and creative writing classes and large-scale projects with the goal of engaging and nourishing the creative spark in communities everywhere. Hey, you guys, are you there?
We are here. Hi, Sherry.
Yay, hi. Is there anything else you wanted to share about the work you do before we officially get started with our love list?
Well, one exciting new development is that we actually have a brick-and-mortar space that we recently opened in Montclair, New Jersey, which is about 10 minutes away from where we live. And it's a very big leap that we've just taken, but we're very excited about actually having a space, a studio. We're calling it a studio, gallery, and imaginarium because we see it as a place that people can come to find inspiration and get ideas and find community and support and camaraderie in terms of their own creative expression. So that's it's like nice to have like four walls where we can actually stay put for a while.
Well, I love it. You know, I'm, of course, as you know, but not everyone does, I'm way across the country, and it's been so much fun to get to see, you know, the events that you've been hosting, and of course, I always just feel like I want to be there. So for people who are anywhere near, right, I mean, it can be anywhere near Manhattan. You're about a half an hour from New York City, right?
Yeah, we're about a half hour outside of New York, so yeah, people come from all over, which is great. And now they can find us because we were always mobile up until now. So it was a little hard to figure out where we were, but
yeah, and I know.
Sorry,
I was just going to say, I know that people who are on the call who may have been following along with my work for a while probably have seen me mention you guys on numerous occasions, but most recently with the amazing, amazing Tiny Book Show that happened this summer. And so we're going to give your website address at the end of this call, and I think people can still find out information about all your different projects, right, on your website?
Yep. Yeah, there's a tab on there that says Tiny Book Show in the menu, so you can anyone could find out what we did and where we went and
how they can still be a part of it, because it actually has continued to have legs. So.
We're doing some local exhibits of the books and also continuing to offer miniature book making workshops here and elsewhere. We're going to be doing a little bit of traveling this summer, spring and summer, probably on the East Coast mostly. But, yeah, so it's still happening. It's just, but, yes, that's where it lives also on the website.
Yeah, so we'll make sure, and also when I post a replay, I'll make sure I post all your information so people can easily find you, because there's just, you guys are always doing so many different kinds of things, and there's like a lot of ways that people can follow along and, you know, continue. Like, because I think one of the things that, of course, I love so much about you guys is that the inspiration of all the different kinds of creative projects that you bring into the world. And even if it's not like an official quote-unquote project, the way you live your lives is just oozing with creativity. And so I know that other people are going to want to follow along, especially after they get to know you a little bit on this call.
Well, thank you, Sherry. It's nice to hear that. It's nice to get some reflections back. So we appreciate it.
Oh, yay. Hey, and I just realized that one thing we should probably do, because sometimes it can be hard. I know we're talking to both of you, but Maya, why don't you say hello, and then I'll have Amy say hello so people can know your voices.
Okay, well, I'm me, Maya, over here, and to my right.
And I'm Amy, so you can hear both our voices. And unfortunately, we have colds, so we actually probably sound a little bit different than we normally do. A little lower register today.
you do. I know you do. But you both sound great and clear. And thanks for being here, even though I know you're kind of fighting off colds right now. So why don't we just launch right in? I know people are on the line. They've got someone in mind that they want to create a love list for. And they've got pen and paper. And so my hope is that we'll be able to offer 10 really creative prompts today so that anybody listening now or when they listen to the replay can easily use it over and over again to create a love list that's like extra wonderful. You guys all set with that?
We're great.
We're good.
Yeah. So we're going to start with, I did ask both of you to think about a time when someone told you or showed you in some way that they loved you, and it felt like a really creative way, something that you've remembered. And I'll start with Amy. Amy told me a story about when Maya told her, she reminded her of summer. Do you remember that, Amy?
Yes.
So yes. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah, she just told me that when she thought about me, she thought that she felt like I sort of exuded her ideal summer. And, I mean, I think later she went into more detail, but at the time, you know, I mean, the first thing that pops into your head is sort of sunshine and maybe the beach and maybe sunscreen and that smell of sort of childhood and all those, at least for me, the beach played a huge part in my growing up. So for me, it was such a positive reinforcement of who I was and how I sort of am in the world with just that one word, summer. And so it was really, it was just such a sweet and special way of having someone describe you as a season rather than saying, oh, you're pretty or you're so nice or you're whatever. But it was like, you're summer to me. And that felt like the best description that I could have ever asked for.
I love it. I love hearing, again, I mean, I've heard this before from you, but I think what strikes me so much, and of course both of you are writers, but anybody can really do this, and that's the thing that I love so much, is that, like you said, instead of saying, like, oh, you're bright, or you're, you know, even you know, sunny, you know, Maya could have said you have a sunny personality, but summer is like, it's a metaphor. And I think that's the thing that I'm hoping people listening right now and creating their own lists will think about. Like, is there a metaphor for the person that you're making this list for? And please, you know, Maya and Amy, if you guys want to jump in at any time, we'll let people sort of start to write right now as we're talking.
Well, I was going to say there's that all you have to do is think of things you like. I mean, like a food you like or a sensation you like or a scene or, you know, an environment. And you start to unpack what is it about that thing that you really like or admire or are drawn to. And even if it's something unusual, like, let's say, I'll say an artichoke. you know, you think of sort of the prickles of the artichoke, but really what are the prickles hiding? The prickles are protecting the heart, which is the sweetest, most, you know, succulent, kind of luxurious part of, you know, the artichoke. And we do this labor of peeling away outer leaves and doing away with the prickles, because we want to get to the heart. And so, you know, it's just an example of something that you kind of start to unpack, an image or a sensation or an object, and what is it that you're drawn to about that thing, and start to connect it to the person that you're writing to, how they make you feel, and who they are, because maybe they are like an artichoke. Maybe they, you know, maybe they play their cards close to the chest, and very few people get to know them as well as you do. And that's the best part of your relationship to them, is that you feel a certain privacy and, you know, protectiveness with them as their friend or, you know, as their daughter or mother or whatever it is. That it's just an idea of how to connect a person to an object or a thing or a place.
I love that. I love that you chose something a little bit prickly on the outside too, as a great example of how we can really add in, you know, it doesn't all have to be, and I think that this is one of the things too about love lists, you know, they can include everything in our relationship with somebody. And just like you said, you know, you can even point out, you know, something, of course, in a very gentle way, but that how that, you know, I don't want to use the word negative, but how something that might be perceived as something negative is really something so beautiful in your relationship.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny, actually, that Maya was saying that because we were at a concert last night, and I was observing a complete stranger. I didn't speak to her. I have no idea who she was, but and noticed when she walked in and sat a few rows in front of us that she was extremely severe looking, like very severe bangs, very severe sort of eye makeup, and a very severe look on her face, like almost angry. At first, when I first glanced at her, I thought she was angry, but I continued to observe her throughout the concert, and she was with a man who seemed to be her partner, and she was so lit up when he looked at her and when she listened to the music, and her face completely softened and changed and kissing her partner, and she was just very, like, engaged in the show and completely different. Once I really, like, sort of just stuck with her as an observer, and so it's interesting that Maya picked that, you know, vegetable, because it really, she was so on the outside, and even though I didn't get to know her, I really felt like I saw this, like, very soft, warm side of her that from the outside, without, you know, a longer period of observation, I wouldn't have understood that she was probably very different from what she looked, you know, at first glance, so.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. You know, and I could see how, you know, it's funny because I could see how we could probably spend the whole call just on this one first prompt because there's so much in it. But we'll sort of start to move on. I just sort of want to recap for people. So your first prompt is to think of a metaphor, something that, you know, an object or something that an experience that you really relate to that reminds you of the other person. And if you didn't have time right now to actually come up with that, maybe just jot down a couple notes and then you can come back to it. But we're going to move on. And Maya, so I'll turn to you now. So when I had asked you that about a story, you told me a story about a glass of water.
Yes. So one of the first indicators of who Amy was as a person, and this is, you know, such a casual thing that you might do, but it did not go unnoticed. I'm trying to think of the, I don't really remember the actual circumstances, but I remember something, I don't know what, but she brought me a glass of water. She was going up to get herself one, and she brought me back a glass of water, and it was, she had not asked me if I wanted one, but brought me back the glass anyway, and there was something about that very unselfconscious generosity that really struck me, that this is a person who notices, who pays attention, and who has others' needs in mind, even if she doesn't ask for them or ask after them, that she was aware that I might have been thirsty, you know, and it's just something very sweet and kind of like an inkling of, again, probably like a very metaphorical, I mean, or a kind of parable about who she was as a person, that moment kind of opened me into.
And I love that it's such a seemingly insignificant kind of thing, but really that it speaks volumes. You know, and I think as people are listening, like when you're thinking about the person you love, like how wonderful to notice something like that, you know, that maybe it doesn't have to be a huge thing, and yet it just says everything.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that I think, Sherry, you're so good at discerning and celebrating, and this, and you made your life's work of it, is, you know, the ordinary moments, you know, that those are really the gems, and those are the indicators of character and connection between people. And so, you know, I think that when we look at a love list, or, you know, writing a card note to somebody, or you know, somehow, you know, celebrating them and elevating them into a place of celebration, it's actually about the very ordinary things that they probably don't even realize that they're exceedingly good at, that leave their mark, that those are the things that define who they are, because they are unselfconscious, they are ordinary, and they are intrinsic to them as people, and yet if you are a person who loves them or who feels love from them, those are the things you probably come back to.
Yes, yes. And for me, so much of why that is so important is that, you know, we can spend a lot of time, and we do, in fact, especially in our culture, of sort of chasing accomplishments or chasing accolades. And to me, you know, I think sometimes if we're not focusing on it like we are right now, it's so easy to completely miss the fact, just like you just said. I mean, really, who we are is usually, you know, it happens in those small, quote-unquote, ordinary moments. And I love people being able to point that out to each other. So I'm so happy that you're bringing this into the conversation, and I hope that as people are listening, that when they're thinking about the person that they're making their list for, you know, to know how important that is to remind someone, or maybe they don't even know it at all, of something that they might just do that they don't even know that is so important.
Well, and you know what's funny is that when I pointed this out to Amy, or when I told the story, and, you know, Amy had, I think the first time I said, you know, I kind of even got teary-eyed. I remember saying, thank you for thank you for bringing me the glass of water. And it was really touching in a really unexpected way. But I think what was even more surprising is that she was so, you know, it was like no big deal to her. Like, this was the fact that I noticed it was significant, because it was not something that she took really any effort doing. So to be noticing it and to say, you know, to call it out, say, wow, that really meant something. I think that is meaningful to the person who hears it, because, you know, it gives them this, it's like she had no idea that it was important to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was something in the sharing of it that gave her, reminded her that it's no small thing. You know, it's
yes. And what I was just thinking when you said that is it also reminds us, the people who are, you know, making these love lists. Like, that's one of the things I love, too, is it reminds us this is no small thing. And I was thinking when you were just telling that story about the water, I was finally the other day taking down the Christmas tree, which I've left up all this time, an artificial one. But I was talking to my son while I was taking down the ornaments. And the ornaments are really special to me. Each one has, like, a big significance. And so I was just sort of taking them down. And as we were talking, he started taking them down with me and sort of, you know, sharing that moment with me. And it's such a tiny thing, really. And yet, to me, it meant so much that he just kind of joined in and helped without I didn't have to say, you know, please help or... And it provided this lovely moment, because then, you know, I could say, oh, do you remember this ornament from when you were, you know, 10 or whatever? And it's, so it's that sort of thing that it just, it means so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So obviously our prompt number two is to really think about something, quote unquote, small or seemingly insignificant that is really important, and that the person that you're writing the list for may not even realize about themselves. And then we're going to move on to our third prompt. And I thought, you know, since you guys, one of the things that I so appreciate about you is your ability to, it's funny because I always use the expression, turn the ordinary into the extraordinary, and I feel like that's one of the things that you do so well with language. And I was thinking for our third prompt that a lot of times people might, when they're making a love list, they might use words like, you know, I love how patient you are. I love how smart you are. I love how nice you are, which are really lovely things to say. But I was thinking maybe you could give us some general creativity tips on, like, if that's sort of our first thought, how do we go a little bit beyond that to, you know, to make it more creative?
Thesaurus.com.
Well, I'm going to say using the word because in there somewhere.
Ooh.
You know, I love that you are, you know, so kind because, or when I see you, when I see you do this, when I, you know, I love, you know, I love that you are so playful because when I'm around you, I feel playful too. So like kind of extending the sentence, it's not just, I love that you're, you know, beautiful, or I love that you're generous, but because, or when, picking a situation when you actually are witnessing that quality in action.
Oh, I love that, Maya. I mean, again, it's like, it's kind of a simple tip, but it can totally change what comes out of us just by adding that because or when.
Right, and I think that, you know, in a way, it identifies a specific, it creates a specific moment between, you know, within that communication that is actually, I feel like it's going to land much more meaningfully on that person because you're not just saying the quality itself, which is sort of generic. I mean, it can be, you know, it's lovely, but it can also sound generic, like you're really nice. But
you're right.
But you're really nice when you open the doors for, you know, the older shoppers at the grocery store and help them with their purchases. You know, it's like it makes it so specific, and it's specific to that person. So it has more impact, I think.
Yes, and go ahead, Amy. Did you want to say something?
No. You finish your thought first.
Oh, well, yeah, then we'll come back. But what I wanted to say is I'm so glad that you said that about it being specific to the person, because I think that's exactly what makes the love list really, really feel unique and cherished, is when they have that specificity. Amy,
yeah.
Were you going to say something about that?
Well, I mean, my answer was a little bit different, but it actually relates perfectly, because what I was going to say is I don't know that everybody that Maya's answer really grounds you in something, so it's perfect, and my answer was going to be more, you know, poets in general, they do tend to elevate the everyday. I mean, they tend to use language in a different way and see things just a little bit differently than other people do. So my response is sort of going to be, you know, read poetry and even steal lines, you know, attribute them, obviously, to the poet, but which then made me think of your favorite poem, Sherry, which is Naomi Shihab Nye's poem, A Valentine for Ernest Mann, and the way she uses skunks in that poem and talks about this man who gave his wife the gift of these two skunks for Valentine's Day because he thought they were beautiful. And so it really pulls me into that question, like using the word beautiful is very nice. There's nothing wrong with the word beautiful, of course, but when you turn that word into two skunks, you know, what does that do to the word? How does that elevate the word or change the word in a totally unexpected way? And so it's just sort of using language and thinking about alternatives to the way we see things, you know, maybe naturally for some of us or just normally, taking a commonplace word and really thinking about an alternative. So,
wow. I love that you both brought in what you did. It's almost as if what you've just shared, I mean, that could be used over and over and over again in making a love list, like, you know, to come up with all these different creative things. And, of course, right now we're just sort of hoping that people might think of one as we're going along, but this is definitely one that people could return to and use all of the suggestions you guys just made. I love that.
I wanted to add too, Sherry, that I think one of the interesting experiences that I've had writing love lists is that the first few are really easy. You know, it's like they're like the cream on, you know, or the foam on a cappuccino or something. you know, it's like you can, I think the meat of the love list actually comes probably in like items, you know, 6 through whatever it is, you know, like however many you're doing is, it's really about patience and about sticking with the exercise and letting your mind kind of travel. That, you know, the things, you know, whatever's coming in at any given moment when you're thinking about someone may not fall into like a word or a phrase, but, you know, just I think it's good, it's important to write it down and let it kind of let your mind sift through the experience that you have of that person. Because at some point, you know, you'll be able to kind of articulate what that is. But the first few are going to be really easy. And then, you know, if you've set yourself the task of writing, you know, 10 or 20 or 50 or whatever it is, it's going to take time and you're going to find it like the really interesting stuff is going to start popping up later. You know.
Yes. Oh, yes, it does. And I, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, I recently did a couple love lists for people that were, you know, 60, 70 things on them. And it's true what you're saying. They almost become like more specific and more personal to our relationship the deeper I go, because like that top layer is just like, okay, that's done, you know, and it really does force us to sit with it. I love that you said that, you know, because sometimes they come to me, I might start a love list and then I'll be on the bus later that day or something and things will just pop up out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. So it's good. It's like, it's better if you don't, you know, if you don't sit down and say, I'm going to write a love list like right now. If you give yourself a little bit of time, so that the stuff that comes first, it will be on, will be there. But I think that, yeah, you're going to be doing something, you know, cooking or taking the trash out or whatever it is. And when you started the process of writing, of making that intention of writing the list, things will start surfacing. And it's good to give yourself some time to let that happen.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, I see that someone's got their hand up for a question. I'm going to go ahead and see what they've got to say.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, I see someone in the 805 area code.
Hi, it's Evelyn. Hi, Maya. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, Evelyn.
I'm just enjoying hearing your voices so much. But I did have a thought that came up when you were talking about use because or use when, and I wrote, tell them the effect of what they do on you personally, because that, I think, means a lot, and it makes a connection. So that was just like something I thought, oh, I should share that. So that's my contribution to that.
Yeah, thank you, Evelyn. That's a great thing to add. I'm so glad you popped by to say that.
Well, and Evelyn is really good at what she says.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have gotten amazing cards from Evelyn. And they are really, they're very, she does exactly what she says. You know, she tells us why, you know, what we did had an effect on her. And so it's like we get to share the stage with her, you know.
Well, that's so wonderful.
Thank you.
Hey, so thanks, Evelyn.
All right. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, glad.
Thank you, Evelyn.
And just a reminder to other people who may have popped on after we started the call, *6 if you want to ask a question or share a comment. It's great. We love it. So, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and move us along because we've got 10 to get through. So I I know you guys said this was okay, but I pulled out a love list that Maya and Amy made for me for my 50th birthday. And that's what made me cry right before our call today because it was so beautiful. It was so, it was like the first time I read it again. And so I want to share a few of those and we'll make those into prompts. That's okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So the first one I want to share was something that Amy wrote, and it goes like this. I love that you always burst into tears so readily, so heartily, the way you sob when you're sad, or even better, when you're happy. I aspire to wear my heart on my sleeve as well as you do. And
oh, that was a good one.
I mean, it's so, like, when I read that, I thought, you know, Amy, you could have said, oh, I love the way you show your feelings, which would have been kind of the same thing.
Right.
But I thought this was a good one that we could talk about your process a little bit of, you know, obviously you were looking at, like, and this could be the prompt for someone, but we'll talk about how to make it more specific, but the prompt, like, of how they express themselves, how someone expresses themselves in the world. But how did you get to this?
Well, I mean, certainly, again, you know, it's really thinking about, taking the time to think about the person and the way they inhabit the world. And having been around you and having spent a lot of time in the car with you, which is really a great way to get to know somebody. But just, you know, being around you in general, that's, I probably originally thought something along the lines of what you said, that I like the way you share your feelings or show your feelings, but then I wanted to dig a little deeper and, like, well, what do I mean by that? And what does she do to share her feelings? And I have to say I probably compared myself a little bit. It specifically in this case, I would say, but definitely, like, I'm somebody who has a harder time sharing my feelings in the way that you do. So I really admire the way you inhabit the world, and I aspire to that kind of sharing and that kind of ease, seeming ease with, you know, letting people see how you're feeling, no matter what it is, even if you're bursting in tears or, you know, so I think it was probably that, like, that I just thought about, well, what does Sherry do exactly to share her feelings? And then just diving down into that a little further.
And I can tell you that it meant so much to me, that addition, you know, I aspire to wear my heart on my sleeve as well as you do, which was a beautiful way to bring you in to the love list. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know how to articulate it, but there was something about it that I felt like, oh, like we were in a relationship, and I learned things from you, and you learned things from me, and we, you know, it really brought that to the forefront for me.
Yeah, absolutely, like the symbiosis of being friends with somebody or partners with somebody or in relationships, it's not one-sided at all, it's give and take, so I guess, yeah, that exemplifies that.
What I really love about what Amy said, too, in her love list to you is that maybe that's a quality that, I mean, I don't know if it's true for you, Sherry, but there might be something, like, let's say somebody might have been criticized before for wearing their heart on their sleeve, for being too free with their emotions. I mean, that's a quality that could very easily have been criticized, you know. It's one of those qualities that, you know, maybe we're taught in some ways not to be overly emotional or to check our emotions or to, you know, be less visible with them. So I love the turn of that, you know, that it's actually a quality that Amy wants more of in her own self. And
yes,
sorry. So it's kind of neat. I mean, it's like maybe there's something that somebody doesn't love about themselves, but that you see as something that you want to bring out more in yourself, and that's a great thing to share with them.
I love that you brought that up, because that is true. I'm often embarrassed about how easily I cry, you know, and it's so true, Maya, that it's like for someone to turn that into and to express that they love it about you, that is an amazing gift.
Well, good.
So, yes, so as people are working on, we're on prompt number 4, you know, so I think it could be exactly what we're talking about. It could be a way that someone expresses themselves, and maybe as Maya just pointed out, maybe something that, you know, typically someone might feel embarrassed about, or even, you know, other people might be critical about. Like, what a beautiful thing to turn that into a love.
Yeah, I just, when you said that, I was like, well, we have a friend here who, locally, who I think would probably get kind of harangued by her family for how emotional she is. And yet it's the quality that I want to see more of in her, because it's so human. You know, that part of her is so tender. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's everything right about that. And so it's like that, if I, you know, that makes me think, well, if, you know, when it comes, when I'm going to write her a love list, I think this is the thing I'm going to tell her, that I appreciate how vulnerable she is, that it connects me to my own humanness and my own tenderness. And, you know, who knows where that will go? It's just, I would want her to know that that's a quality that I not only recognize, but I really respect and appreciate.
Wow. You know what just dropped in for me when you were saying that, too, is, of course, we're having this call and we're making a loveless gift for someone in particular. And, you know, it's sort of this thing we're working on. But also to a reminder to people that we can bring these sorts of reflections into our relationships all the time. So when I just heard you say that, I thought, wow, you know, that's something I'm going to kind of like look out for when I'm talking it, and in the moment to say to someone, oh, I love that you're able to express yourself like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's great. I love it. Okay, so I do have a couple others from that love list you guys made me. I'm going to be bringing them in a little bit. But for our fifth prompt, and it's interesting that, because it's actually related to what Amy was saying about being in the car together, which is kind of funny. For the fifth prompt, I was thinking something that you always do together that sort of really it's just about your relationship, or something that you only share with these people. So when I was thinking about this call today and this prompt, I was thinking that I love being on a road trip with Maya and Amy. I mean, that's one of my favorite things in the world, and it's not something that I really share with other people in the way that I do with you guys, you know? So, like, if I were going to be writing a love list for the two of you, you know, I might say something like that, like, you know, something to do with road trips, but how, like that, like how would I turn that into something that's like really creative, not just, oh, I love that we road trip together and it's so much fun.
Well, I would say like you would maybe include, like, I love that when we road trip, you let me grill you and take voice recordings of our conversation. I love that when we road trip, you don't mind when I have to pee a million times and stop by the road. Like, it's really bringing in more context, you know.
Oh,
more context,
God.
to what you love about that person.
And I can see, like, or at least I project it, like Amy and I both started laughing, right? Because it's like so true, so specific. Not just the road tripping part that's specific, but what you added to it. Only us, right? Those are only between us.
Right, absolutely. And I was thinking that, like, along the similar lines, like, if somebody was going to say that to me, like, if you were writing me a love list about our road trips, and you would say, like, you know, you always, like, or somebody would say to me, like, you always eat, like, I love the way you always eat corn nuts. Like, you have a specific snack that you eat every time we road trip together. Or, like with Maya, I love the way you always want to go on the app to find the oddities around the country. And we, you know, we do these little detours and we stop to see these things like the giant watering can and the, you know, I mean, there's things that are specific to a, you know, to one person or another that are really more meaningful, yeah, than just saying, like, I love to road trip with you.
And, you know, I think the best kind of love list is granular. You know, it's about moments. It's about an exchange that you had, or a ride that you took, or a moment that you shared. Because what the articulation of that experience makes it a memory, a shared memory. You know, it didn't just happen. It's not just the past. It's currency. It's current in that you brought it into the field, but there's currency there because it's meaningful and it's valuable, and it obviously it left a mark, and it illustrates the context of the connection.
Wow. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so great. And I just seeing, you know, again, like, because of what you just said, Maya, that it's like we get brought right into that moment and we get to love it all over again, which is such a gift.
You know, it's like when we look at photo albums, when we, you know, everybody has photo albums. I know you do.
Well, several dozen.
But, you know, this is what happens when we look at a single photograph. It draws out our attention. You know, it's like it's a very specific frame, but it illuminates a broader, wider, and deeper experience of which that frame is a part. And so the love list is very much like I see as, you know, each item on the list is like a photograph. And it's and the more specific it is and the more granular it is, in a way, to me, the broader and deeper it, you know, the aspects of the relationship it illuminates.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be this big, broad statement like, I love that you're, you know, kind, but it's like, you know, I love that when, you know, we took that road trip, you stopped 12 times between North Carolina and New Jersey so that I could pee. You know, and
I'm writing that one down to send to you guys right after this call. Yes, yes, yes. So folks who are making their list, just so we keep up with where we are, we're on prompt number 5, and you're looking at something that only you share with this person, and, you know, trying as much as possible to bring in all of the wonderful creative suggestions that Maya and Amy have just shared with that. And it's interesting, Maya, because, well, maybe this made you think of it, I don't know, but the next prompt actually has to do with photos. So I love that you brought that into it because I asked you guys if you could bring a photo. I didn't really tell you why. Do you have a photo there with you?
We do.
We do.
So, because one of the things that I love to offer to people who are making love lists is to go ahead and look at photos that they have with that person, because it can really spark, just like you just said, you know, it can really spark those specific moments. And so I thought it would be fun, since you guys didn't know exactly what we were going to do, to just have you, like, whatever photo you brought with you, to practice this out loud with us. Like, so you're looking at a photo, and what happens? How do you come up with a specific, you know, love list item from that photo?
All right, well, everybody on the call is going to think this is like a total plant, but there's a photograph that we have on our refrigerator, front and center, that Evelyn, who was on the call a minute ago, actually took, and it's of Sherry and me and Maya and Travis, our friend, who came with us this summer on our Tiny Book Show tour. And we were in Ojai, I think, California. And it is the most joyful, happy picture. We're just all grinning, these huge grins, and we just had such a great day. And if I was going to drop into this specific moment in the photo, I've got Sherry sort of in a headlock, but in a fun way. And I've got my hand on Travis's shoulder and Maya's behind us. And it just reminds me so specifically of the joy of that day, like how much fun we were having together and how much excitement that there was around our Tiny Book Show tour, and how Sherry just, it was like you were Julie the cruise director, and like the best DJ that anyone's ever had without even any music playing, and just making everybody feel so welcome and as if they were the only person to ever see the Tiny Book Show. And there's just something about that photo that just drops me right back into that moment of, like, just absolute unbridled joy. Like, we could barely contain ourselves in this photo, and I can feel that. So.
Wow. That is awesome. It does almost feel like a plant. And I love it that Evelyn is on the line to share in this moment. And when I heard you talking about that, it's like I felt all of that, you know, almost like I wanted to jump out of my seat because there was so much energy and it was so much fun. And how wonderful that just by looking at a photo, we can be brought right back into that.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I didn't really think about this until now, but when I remember that Evelyn took that photo, I mean, the love list, part of the love list that I would write to her was that, you know, she took this photo, she volunteered to take this photo, and there was something about this, you know, something about her desire to capture this moment of joy, and she was on the other side of the camera. I mean, there was such a lack of selfishness around that, you know, and she was very much a part of our California tour. She came to several of our Tiny Book Show stops, and it mirrors exactly how she was during these stops. She was generous with her time, and she was, you know, just unselfish in all the best ways of making way and asking what we needed and being helpful and just enjoying. What really strikes me is that what she loved was seeing how happy people were. So that is a quality in her, that she loved witnessing other people's joy, which is actually a pretty amazing thing.
Wow.
About a person who just gets pleasure out of other people's joy. So that's what I see when I look at this picture.
It's so beautiful. And I love that by pointing that out, not only does Evelyn get to receive that appreciation, which I'm so happy for, but it also points out that when we're looking through our photos, we can also be looking for what's not pictured, but added so much to that moment because there's so much in that that you just sort of pointed out.
Yeah, that's a great prompt. You know, when you look at a photo, like what's the story that's not there? But in the background or in the side, you know, in the sidelines or on the other side of the frame.
Yes. Oh, that's great. When you just said that, I don't know why this dropped in, but I had a trip with my friend Lisa, one of my dearest friends from high school, and the car broke down when we were driving to Manhattan. And of course, we don't have any pictures of that. But when I look at those photographs from Manhattan, I remember that, you know, how funny it was and the different experiences we had around the car breaking down, which would make great things in the love list about her character and who she is
right.
And how she can make something like that fun, right? Like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, like what happened before that moment or right after that moment.
So if people are looking at this one, I know a lot of people, you probably didn't bring photos because I didn't ask you to, but for this prompt number 6, you know, hopefully maybe you've been thinking about or maybe a photograph has even dropped into your mind, or you could just put a little note about, like, to do this after the call, to look through. If you have printed photos, great. If you've got digital files or like mine and Amy did, I mean, that was great. You just, whatever was right there, readily available. So that's a great one. So I'm going to move on to number 7. And I love how this just sort of naturally kind of turned into sort of a love fest for me about my relationship with you guys. I didn't really mean that to, but it did. Like the next prompt I wanted to do was I wanted to invite people to look around their homes and to see if there's something that person that you're making the list for gave you, something that you treasure, because I think there's a lot about relationships in what we keep that other people have given us. And it was interesting because when I was thinking about this prompt, I was at my desk, and I looked up on my desk, and it just so happened I have a gift from each of you, one from Maya, one from Amy, that I keep on my desk that are actually, I didn't even know this until the moment I was looking at this, but they're totally related. One of them is something that Maya made for me years ago that is this little Hawaiian dancer, and it says, I have the best dream. I don't know if you remember this, Maya, but it's a little piece of art that has some festive tropical little doodads. And is that ringing a bell with you?
What? Yes, sort of. Tell me more.
It's okay. I'll send you a picture afterwards. But I just, there's something, it says on the back, Sherry's Travel Vision Board. And
I remember that.
I love it because I take it metaphorically as well as, you know, we've shared some great times, all of us in Hawaii together with other friends. And so it's literal, but there's also a sort of real metaphorical for me about there's a big sun. And so anyways, this is beautiful. I just love this whimsical piece of art. And then recently, Amy sent me this absolutely delightful, beautiful, do you call them retablos, Amy? Is that the right?
Yeah. Yep, retablo.
So it's like a little tiny altar, matchbox altar, and it has a picture of Hawaii, and she wrote a beautiful note with it that I have, and there's a paper parasol. So I suddenly, when I was coming up with this prompt, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so amazing that I have these two gifts that, you know, years separated in when I received them, but they're both this beautiful connection that we all share with Hawaii and what that means to us as friends. And so if I were going to be making a love list for you guys using these things, you know, I'm just throwing this out to you. Like, I mean, my first impulse would just be say, I love these amazing gifts that remind me of our time in Hawaii. But I bet there's more. I bet there's so much more that could be said about that or how it could be said.
Well, you know, maybe I'm repeating myself, but I mean, I know I'm repeating myself, but you, one could say, like, when you gave me that gift, what you couldn't have known was, you know, fill in the blank, you know, like when you sent me that card, you know, what you didn't know was that I was having a really difficult week or what, you know, like, again, it's about sort of context setting that, you know, or when I look at this on my mantle, when I look at this gift, I forget all of the things that I'm worried about because I know that out there is this connection. So it's like, what happens when you see that thing?
Yes. Oh, I love that. The couple things you said in there, you know, what you couldn't have known is a great part to add to these. And also, you know, when I look at this, you know, dot, 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 because as soon as you said that, all of a sudden, like, these specific connections that we had in Hawaii dropped to mind, and I was like, oh, I could include that, or I could include that, you know? And that's what I'm hoping as people are, you know, I don't know if you're, you know, people are actually able to look around their house or they're thinking of something right now that they treasure that person gave them, but to consider adding that in, you know, how it makes you feel or why you've treasured it all this time.
Yeah, and the point of the retablo that I gave you, I mean, it's historically they were shrines. They were these tiny, mostly tin shrines that came from the Mexican tradition, and they were built were created to give thanks for a person surviving an illness of some sort, a terminal or a catastrophic accident or something out of the ordinary that they survived. And so people made these retablos to thank the saints, all different saints, for this person's life. And when I started creating them, I was using matchboxes. They're mostly all made out of paper, And there are these little doors. You open these little doors, and inside the matchbox is a photograph. I use photographs in all of them, and they are my shrines to tiny moments. So, you know, I think the photo I used inside of yours was just a sunset from when we were in Hawaii together, but to me it was just like the finer moments of that time kind of drop right into that matchbox, and like you in this adorable pink bathing suit playing the ukulele, or a tropical drink that we had on the lanai, or a conversation that we had in the hot tub, or whatever. Like all those tiny moments sort of fall into those little matchboxes, and I made 100 of them, and they're very tiny specific moments with different people or of moments of my own. I was sort of like giving thanks for all the moments in my life that, you know, add up to a life. So
wow, I'm so glad you shared that, and I think I'll post a photo of it when I do the call replay, just so people can see this and the piece of art, because they're just so magical. And I love it because one of the other things that was on that love list that I was reading from my 50th birthday was Amy had said, I love how our silverware compartment in our kitchen drawer is filled with the paper parasols you give us. You know, and you went on to say that sometimes you're cleaning out the basement and, you know, you find them poking out of the tops of juke boxes. And it was like this beautiful, you know, it was a beautiful example to me of this prompt of like something in your house that is connected. And the fact that you sent me this particular retablo with the parasol is just so wonderful.
I'm looking at this really kind of quirky, what is it, an embroidery?
Mm-hmm.
It's and I don't know, what is that, a potato?
It's a pear.
Oh, a pear. Okay, so our friend Pixie, I don't know where she got this, probably at like a tag sale or something. But she sent us this really, it's like 5 by 7 inches, and it's an embroidered pear, like, character. It's like a woman, or I don't know, kind of cartoony. And it's just so quirky and strange. And when she sent it to us, she just, you know, she's like, she just wrote this note and said, you know, I just knew the two of you had to have this, you know. And it's just something in that gesture of, like, receiving something so odd and yet, you know, it was so perfectly, it was so perfect because it was, you know, it's like we are kind of quirky and strange and we do funny things and, you know, so it's just kind of a, like, knowing that that was being celebrated as opposed to, you know, the opposite, which is like somebody scratching their heads and not understanding, but, you know, being known and being familiar and being understood by someone else.
Yeah, so if you were going to write a love list item to Pixie after seeing, you know, seeing this embroidery, how do you think you would word that?
I would say, like, I love that you know to send us things that other people would probably overlook or throw away. You know, like, I love that you knew that you instinctively knew that we would get a kick out of this.
Yeah, I love that. So, and it's also a good example as people are considering this prompt, number 7, you know, about looking around your home, that it's like, in some ways, like, again, we keep talking about the quote-unquote ordinary or the insignificant, that the items that this person gave you may be something kind of quirky, or, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, a treasured piece of jewelry or something like that. It can be of value for so many different reasons. So let's move on to prompt number 8. And I pulled another one from that 50th list, and this was something that Maya wrote to me. I love that I can spot you in an airport a mile away. So I love that. First, I mean, I think I'll let you, Maya, just speak to it. Like, how how you came up with that particular prompt, and in a way, like, how we could translate that for others on the call to come up with that kind of love.
Well, I think what I meant by that is, well, there were two things I meant by that. One is you stand out. You just do. You have a way of standing out that's, you know, you have an amazing collection of hats, and there's just, you have this way of not being invisible wherever you are, and I love that about you. And the second piece is really about your joy is irrepressible. You don't apologize for how happy you are to see someone. And so I could spot you a mile away because you would be jumping up and down and probably have, you know, you'd have a sign.
maybe some confetti.
Some confetti. I think I was speaking to, you know, the fact that your joy makes you stand out. You know, you yourself, but it's really just how you are around those you love. You don't hold back with how happy you are to be around us.
It's hard for me because I didn't realize when I was pulling these that I would have these these personal connections like as we were talking about them. But so it's like I'm experiencing that and all the joy of hearing what you're saying, and at the same time also thinking in terms of like these general prompt things, which is just an interesting place to be. But one of the things that I love on sort of a logistical level about what we're doing, in a way, what you wrote here is the opposite of what we've been talking about sort of saying because or, you know, giving a whole list of specifics. And I think that just shows that there's room for both. Because when I read this today earlier, I loved that it was sort of so open-ended that I got to fill in a way, what I thought you meant by it,
mm-hmm.
which was really fun. It left a little bit of room, kind of like poetry might do. You know, it leaves us a little room for interpretation. And so to me, I wasn't thinking of this when I used this example, but it's great that it sort of points out when people are making their love lists to really vary how we're doing them so that they have a different kind of cadence in a way, or there's a certain lyricalness to the whole list. Does that make any sense?
It's like painting, you know, with broad strokes and fine strokes, I think. You know, you want to go out broad. You want to have swaths of color, and then you want to come in with the finer details. So I think it's very similar.
Yeah, I mean, a love list, if you look at it as the lines of a poem, I mean, there's a rhythm to the love list, and you want to break it up. You want to have a rhythm. You want to have a rhythm that surprises you. So maybe one of your items is really specific, and one is broad, and one is sort of aspirational. I mean, one thing I thought of this evening was, you know, what if one of the items on your love list was a wish, like what I wish for you? Connected to that person's life somehow, like I would love for you to this, or I would, you know, I'm, you know, like somehow connecting it to the parts of that person that you hope, you know, get more airtime. That's a kind of love, too.
Yes. Wow. This is so great, because I hope, as people are listening, you know, to be hearing just it's like there's an endless amount of ways to do this, really. And the way that you guys are describing it, you know, I've never really thought of that, actually, until this call right now, that it is like a poem in a way. And that there is a rhythm to it. And so if people's last prompt, number 7, you know, was maybe kind of long and full of specifics, then their next one on their list could be something maybe a little, like Amy said, a broader stroke.
Yeah, a single sentence, you know, really, you know, efficient, like efficiency.
Or even a word, you know, I just realized I've seen sometimes where people have made them and it's like some of them are really long and then they'll just be one word and anybody reading it may not even, you know what it means, but, you know, they do.
Right. I mean, it could be some, and it could be something totally random, like, you know, your love of grapefruit, you know, which isn't a quality, but it's not like saying, I love that you care about citrus.
Right.
I love that you have an affinity for citrus.
Oh my gosh, that's so great.
Or you can just say grapefruit.
Well, which is interesting because, once again, because it's kind of leading us right into props number 9 that I wanted to throw out. So I love this. It's all like sort of organically happening, which is there on Maya's list to me, she wrote, I love how the words hummus and lavash can make us crack up for hours. So what I love about that, we were just sort of saying this, like it could be a singular word or it could be a phrase or it could be something that is just like this total inside joke. Like nobody else in the world reading it will have any idea what in the world you're talking about. And that's what makes it so wonderful to receive, right? Like, I just, there's something about, like, first of all, it takes me right back to the laughter, you know, which is always such a great thing, you know, to remind each other of. But then to sort of have that sense of, like, kind of like we were talking about earlier, like, oh, this is just us. Just us. This is our thing, you know?
Yeah, which is like, you know, if you receive that, isn't that the best?
Yes!
That's like someone saying, I get you, or we have this secret language, and there's a privacy, and, you know, it's like, there's just you and me.
Yeah. I have this friend, Sandy, that we've been friends since we were in fourth grade, and there's this story. I mean, she lived about a block and a half from the river in New Jersey where we grew up, and we just spent this one entire day on the banks of the river collecting seaweed. And for some reason, one of us, I can't remember which one of us, came up with this idea that it would be really funny if we took all the seaweed that we collected and we just took it back to her house and sat on the front porch and waited for her mom to come home from work, covering ourselves in the seaweed like we were swamp monsters. And I don't even remember if her mother ever came home. I don't remember it being at all, like, dramatic when she did. Maybe we gave up by the time, you know, she came home. We had moved on to something else and just sort of left all the seaweed. But she gave me this blank book, I think when we graduated from high school, that said, never forget the river, okay? And I will just never forget that day. And if I was writing her a love list, I could just write the word seaweed. And she was exactly what I was talking about. And nobody else would have a clue. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense to anyone else. But, I mean, we would just know. And it would bring me right back to that day of being these, you know, little girls sitting on this porch waiting for somebody to notice our swamp monster costumes that we had spent a ridiculous amount of time making.
Wow. I love that. Oh, I just, and, you know, as you're telling the story, I'm just thinking that it's like, again, these are the things that make our lives, aren't they? Like, it's these moments that, you know, and a lot of times when they're happening, we don't realize even that, you know, that that's going to be, you know, like lavash. You know, like, who knew at the moment that that would turn out to be, like, something I'll remember the rest of my life? But we do, because that's what life is made of, these
yeah.
quote-unquote ordinary moments.
I mean, there's so much that makes up a life, but I think that those are the things that make life worth remembering, you know.
Ah, beautifully said. And that's why we want to remind each other, right, of them. Like,
yeah.
Because sometimes we do forget, even though they're so worth remembering. Like, there's been plenty of times where a friend of mine has reminded me of something, and it's such a gift. Like, oh, I'd totally forgotten that, right?
Yeah.
And so it's so great that as people are... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's just that, you know, we actually probably spend way
like a disproportionate amount of time being consumed by things that are kind of forgettable, you know, like that are not particularly remarkable, or they're just daily, they're ordinary, you know, everyday like chores and jobs and all these things. And so the love list is kind of like a little poke, you know. It's like, don't forget, your life actually has these amazing moments in it that I got to share with you. Or, you know, you are a person who is an amazing person that I get to celebrate. So it's kind of like a little jostle to our systems, because we do kind of like click in and keep going and going. And so what better, this is a wonderful kind of interruption to that system.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so perfectly said. You know, it's like I'm often saying the phrase, you know, like life is fleeting and extraordinary. But it's hard to remember that when we're in the midst of it day to day. Like it is something we need jostled to remember. Like, oh, it is. I mean, it's just a miracle that we meet the people that we meet in our lives. There are billions of people on Earth. And so to be jostled to remember that, like, wow. You know, not only did I meet you, but we got to have this amazing friendship. You know, remember? Like, it's so beautiful. Oh, I love that. So prompt number 9, of course, is, you know, hopefully people have been thinking about this, you know, something just inside joke, something just between the two of you, something like Amy's story about the seaweed that is just this, like, singular moment in time that just says it all. And so for our last prompt, and this is one too, I think I asked you guys, if I didn't really tell you why, but I asked you to maybe think of something around humor. And so, because I thought one of the things that makes its way onto almost all the love lists I've seen is some appreciation for someone's humor, because I think that's something that in relationships, it's what draws us to people oftentimes, or it's something that we really appreciate. But often, you know, we'll just say, oh, I love your sense of humor, or, you know, I love that you're funny. And particularly this is one that a lot of parents will put on their list to their teenagers or their children. And I asked you guys if you could bring maybe just a thought about you've got teenagers in your household, anything specific that could help people with that particular prompt around humor.
But I love the smell of your cheesy feet. I love the way you never, ever pick up your wet towel.
Do those count? Oh, my God. Oh, I love it. Are there more?
I mean, there's like, oh yeah, there's hundreds of teenagers, of course. I mean, you know, but there's like, I mean, I love the way my younger son puts his hair in a ponytail and walks around like he's, you know, Cindy Lou Who from the Christmas. And I mean, there's so many. I mean, he used to just like pull his underwear up over the top of his pants and walk around the house like as if that was a style. My older son really has like this very, very dry, quick wit. And I can't think of any specific examples, but he just makes me laugh, like, every day with some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth. He's just so fast. Like, I love that about him, that he just, it seems so effortless to be funny.
Aha. So that could be even a way to do it, right? So, first of all, you had all the examples of things that are funny to you about, you know, your children. Then you had things that they do kind of to make you laugh or to be funny. And then you have the last one, which was sort of like a specific quality of how your older son, it seems effortless. Like that, yeah. That's a way to add to it.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I think the thing with kids and certainly certain kinds of friendships and relationships is that there's a great deal of freedom in being you know, critical. Like you can poke fun in a way that actually reflects the depth of your connection with them, because it's safe. I mean, one thing we talked about recently with my stepson is that he feels so safe with us that he doesn't mind being, you know, kind of a pain in the ass once in a while. And in a way, that's very endearing, you know, even though it's not fun to necessarily be on the other end of that. But it's, you know, like there's a safety in pointing someone's, pointing out some of the foibles of your, of that person or their, you know, it's like, because they know it to be true also. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, if Amy said to me, I love how, I'm trying to think, what could you criticize me for?
Yeah, well, how, like, piggledy you are. Like, that's a private joke story between us, but, like, very, like, sort of messy, and she kind of, like, stumbles over furniture, and, like, it's very, like, flat.
I don't know where my body, like, how long it is, and so I tend to, like, bump into things and get bruises and stuff.
Well, the funny thing is the show Seinfeld really popped into my mind when we were talking about humor, because I think that show so perfectly accentuated the different styles of humor there are in the world, which come from personality. And my two sons, you know, my younger one is very slapstick and very, like, he loves that kind of humor, like pratfalls and, you know, banging his head into something, or, like, he thinks all that physical stuff is very funny, and that's very much how Seinfeld as a show was. You know, those four main characters. Kramer was an incredibly physical comedian. Everything was about his body and how it was moving, and, you know, that was very funny. And then you had Jerry, who was this incredibly dry sense of humor, and Elaine, who was more physical, but that sort of feminine kind of comedy, and George, who was just, you know, like a curmudgeon. And so I think that, like, getting very specific about what makes someone lovable in terms of humor, you know, the style of humor that they employ, and you can get really granular again, like we've been talking about probably in all 10 of these love list items, but like where you can go these broader strokes or get more granular.
Yeah, wow, that was great. And I hope that people, I mean, I know I kind of brought it up in the context of children and teens just because I wanted to bring that in so, you know, people could see how we could, you know, create love lists for the young people in our lives. But also, of course, those can be applied to anyone. And I know someone's got their hand up. I just want to check in and see what if they've got a question or a comment. I've got someone, looks like with a country code 6-1. Hi, who's this?
My name's Lily. I'm from Perth, Western Australia.
Well, hi, Lily. How wonderful of you to be here.
I'm so happy. I've just loved what you've said. I've just laughed and cried and all sorts of things. But this is more to do with number 8, actually. I was suddenly thought of my sister. I'm doing my list for my sister. I'll probably cry, which is fine. It was actually easy to think of a chant that we both used to walk around the house when we were probably about 3, which was a ludicrous, hilarious chant where we used to say, roar, 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 keeper, keeper. Heaven knows why. And we used to march around the house doing this, and not sure our parents' amusement. But what happened when I thought of it was that I had always thought that I was the one who, who always made these up, and she was the follower. But what I suddenly realised was that how tuned in we were. You know, like, yes, maybe I did think up that chant because I was older, but she got it straight away. And I hadn't remembered or even known that till just now. and that's just lovely. That I suddenly knew that I just saw her differently. So thank you. That's amazing.
Oh, Millie, thank you for sharing that. Isn't it beautiful? Like, talk about, like, I mean, the beautiful thing about making these love lists, and we haven't even really touched on that, and I'm so glad you brought it up. Like, what we get to see, what arises that maybe was there all along but we didn't know, or what we re-experience in a relationship that maybe we weren't conscious of. It's so beautiful. I've fallen in love with both you and your sister just from this tiny story.
Yeah, that little teeny cheek.
So I'm crying with happiness.
Well, that's just, thank you so much for sharing that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I think that's
go ahead, Mai.
Well, it's just, I think that really speaks to the transformation that happens when you actually are investing and committing to your love list, that it becomes very much about you start to see something fresh about your own perspective, because you're kind of moving around the ecosystem of your life with that person, you know. These memories, these objects, the private moments, the secret jokes, all this stuff. It's like this ecosystem of connection. And just this image popped up of these like 3D movable models of our solar system, and these planets, you know, are moving in these orbits separately, but they're also moving around together. And so you start to sort of come around to see parts of yourself and parts of the relationship that are fresh and that are new and that are deep at the same time, you know, because they're happening in collaboration with the rest of the list.
Yes, and they're happening. What I love so much about that beautiful way that you phrase that about like the solar system, they're also happening. It's different in every moment, right? Just like with the planets and the way things are orbiting, like there's different views of everything in some ways. And so like that, the beautiful way that Lily got to see something new because she was looking in this moment.
Yeah, I think that's so fascinating too. I mean, I know there's a writing teacher that he starts off his workshops with the story about being at a funeral for one of his parents, and he's with his siblings, and they're retelling these old family stories that have been around forever. Like, everybody's heard them a million times, but when they start telling them from their own point of view, they realize that they all had this completely different experience in this moment. You know, like, one of them maybe thought of it one way and the other thought of it a different way, because, of course, it's your own perspective. But when you tell the story in a room, you know, full of your other family members or your friends or whatever, and you're like, wait, no, I don't remember it that way. I remember it this way. And it becomes this sort of hilarious, like, I don't know. I just love the way Lily sort of brought that up, like that she had never thought of it before from this other perspective. And I think that's a great way to sort of remember stories and, like, maybe take yourself out of the story in a little way and inject the other person that you're writing the list for. Well, like, how might have they saw that? How might they have seen that story, you know, that I didn't? Or it's just that, like, fresh perspective is really fascinating.
Yeah, and, like, what I saw is the evolution, too. Like, we might write down, I love the way we did those chants when we were little, you know, and even to put that chant that she gave. But that, you know, we start there, and then the magical thing that life does, which is take us somewhere else, somewhere a little bit new or deeper, which is, I think, for me, at least in the experience of writing, often what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to just add that I feel like I'm getting an unexpected love list from my mother over the last couple weeks, and it's happening in these emails she's sending. She's getting a whole bunch of slides, old slides,
translated into digital files. And she's been sending these old photos of me and my siblings and the rest of my family, you know, sort of one at a time. You know, like I get one, you know, like once a week or something, or a couple a week. And it's like these little love letters. I mean, she just says, oh, you know, remember this. But you know, I just wanted to just invite people who maybe were struggling with telling stories or finding words to think about imagery as a way of adding, you know, items to your list, that it could just be a visual.
Oh, my, I'm so glad that you brought that in. That's so beautiful. And it's also the perfect, I kind of wanted to keep our call to about 90 minutes, which we are, but we'll just go for a few extra minutes. But that was perfect way to segue into also, yeah, when we're looking at love lists, you're right, we've all been sort of talking about stories and words, and I love that you brought in photographs, you know, that this is like a love list from your mom, you know, and someone could actually do that, collect, you know, 10 photographs and then just write a few words or a line under each one as a special kind of love list. There's so many ways to present them, and I've also known of people who are, you know, people who doodle or draw or watercolor, and you could bring that in to how you present your love list. And so I just really wanted to appreciate that you brought that piece in, that it's like, and also like, I don't know if your mother intentionally set out to do that, but whether she did or she didn't, that's how you're receiving it. And I love that it's then come into our call as like, oh, yeah, I could send someone an email, one email every week, and just surprise them by telling them something I love about them or sending a photograph like your mom's doing. You know, it just opened up the whole world of possibilities, which is, go ahead, Mai.
Well, do you remember in high school when, you know, you had your first boyfriend and you made them a mixtape or he made you a mixtape, and that was a love list. I mean, those were songs that person or you chose as a way of representing your feelings and your thoughts about that person. And so that's, you know, those can come back. They can be in the form of audio. They can be songs. They can be, you know, there's just, they can be an assemblage of media that added up. I mean, it's a way of keeping the list fresh and surprising. And I think that's what it's for. It's meant to surprise and delight. And so it's nice to, I mean, because we all have these different sort of stimuli that have influenced us and marked our relationships. And they come in the form of songs. They come in the form of photographs. And so those are wonderful things to add to the list.
I just wanted to say, too, just when you said that about, like, maybe sending a something every week instead of, like, the list altogether. Just popped into my head. One of my closest friends, whose mother died when we were really young. I mean, we were only in our 20s, and her mother passed away, and she was the first person I knew who lost a parent. And I sent her a card every single week for a year. And I don't even know what made me do it. I mean, it just was, but I just thought, I don't know what this feels like, but I want her to know that, like, she's not alone, because she probably felt really lonely, like, you know, not knowing anybody else who had lost a parent. And so I just kept sending them, like, for 52 weeks. I sent her a card once a week just to say, I'm here and I'm thinking about you and I haven't forgotten that you lost your mother, because I think that can be something really difficult, you know, no matter what age we are, but really at that age it struck me. And so, to me, that was a love list. I mean, I really wrote her a love list for a year, because I had to come up with something every week, too. I mean, it's a funny thing when I think back. I'm like, what the hell did I say every week? Like, but, you know, it was just something, like, either that had happened between us or that we had talked about or that I remembered about her mother, or just a reminder that I was there. And it really was a year-long love list.
Oh, so beautiful. And I'm glad that you just said that, because what I was thinking is that we can make a love list, like in the case of your friend whose mother passed away, to, you know, make a love list of things we loved about her mother, mm-hmm. you know, which is a little twist on it, but that it's also such a beautiful thing, especially when someone has died, to know that someone saw and loved and appreciated all of these things in the person that we also loved. So I'm so glad you brought that up, Amy. I think that this, it's such a beautiful thing. And, yeah, I'm doing it in that form. You know, and as so as we close the call, because, of course, we could probably talk for hours. I mean, I know I could. I love better than talk about Loveless. But I just wanted to give people a couple of resources. Mine, first of all, that just that I do have, you know, from the simplest of a printable that someone can print out and fill in. It's just a professionally designed printable that you could fill in with anything that you've come up with on the call today, to ideas like putting them in fortune cookies or making a Loveless joy jar. And so I'm going to give you that URL, and then I'm going to give you some contact information to keep in touch with Maya and Amy. So mine is simplycelebrate.net. And if you go to /love-list-prompt, that will have some more prompts on it and some presentation ideas that you can link to and things like that. So again, it's simplycelebrate.net/love-list-prompt. And Maya and Amy, well, why don't you just go ahead and give your website, and also I think it'd be great if people could, where they can subscribe to follow you.
Sure. Our website is thecreativitycaravan.com, and we are also on Facebook, The Creativity Caravan, and Instagram, same thing. And we have a sign up for a newsletter. It's one of the tabs, one of the menu items on the homepage, so you can easily find that. One quick thing I wanted to say is that we actually have an event once a month called Letter Lounge, and we sit down in a group and write letters for about 2 or 3 hours. And so maybe a Loveless can happen in community, that you can ask a friend to join you, and that, you know, sometimes it's really great to be sitting at a table with someone writing, and you don't even notice the time go by, and you don't even know, I mean, you might find yourself writing several Lovelists because, you know, you have company. And so it's just at one of those nights I just noticed I end up writing way more letters and, you know, than I anticipated. So just a quick suggestion.
I love that. And, you know, I wonder, you know, we could talk about this, but maybe sometime we could all do a virtual, like when you guys are actually gathered, you know, at your beautiful new brick-and-mortar studio. But maybe some of us can gather, you know, virtually and write with you.
Yeah, sure.
Love that. I really wanted to tell you, too, how amazing this has been. I mean, for me personally, you know, I hope for people on the call as well, but I've actually really, like, expanded so much in the way that I'm thinking about, you know, how to write a love list and things to bring into it and forms it can take. And I'm just so grateful to you for taking all this time to share so much.
Well, thank you for having us. It's great for us, too. I mean, it's just a good topic to kind of dive into and really think about in a communal space, which, you know, virtual or not, but I really like thinking about these kinds of things, and it expands my ideas of how I want to tell the people that I love why I love them, too. So thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for asking us to join you.
Yeah, and one of the things that came out of this that I've seen before, but I hadn't really been thinking about this call, but it's like how appreciation is such a universal feeling. So, like, for instance, when Amy was talking about the seaweed story, I felt that love for your friend. Or when Lily was talking about her sister, I felt that love for her sister. And yeah. I think that it's one of the most beautiful things to me about having these conversations or sharing love lists or talking about the things we appreciate about people we love, because it's not just, you know, the two of us, you know, the person writing it and the person receiving it, but there's just this sort of universal love that gets expressed.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
More important than ever, I say.
What'd you say?
I said more important now than ever, I'd say.
Yes. more important now than ever. So I want to really, again, thank both of you for being here, and thank you to the folks who called in. And I know, you know, some of the people had to drop off, but there are people who have been here for the whole call, and I really want to thank all of you for that. And as always, I always love to hear from people about your love list, so please keep in touch. Thanks, you guys. I guess everybody can go back to the football game now, huh?
What football game?
Thanks, everybody else, for listening, too. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.